All right, now let's move to health matters for a minute here. And, well, let's look into colorectal cancer, or I guess you could say colorectal health, but it will be focusing on cancer. So let's take a listen. WebMD.
Very common question I get asked all the time is, well, what are the symptoms of colorectal cancer? And the reality is, for a lot of people, there are no symptoms. They don't notice really anything and they get caught by some other problem. But there are a few key things to look out for. One is, of course, any change in your bowel habits. That could be a little blood in the stool, sense of constipation, maybe even a change in the shape of your stool. Some folks will present with fatigue, just tiredness, maybe shortness of breath, and the problem there is that they're probably losing a little bit of blood, not enough so where they can see the blood is coming out, but they sort of lose a little by little, and they get iron deficient, and that makes them anemic. The last, probably the most common of the bunch, is some sort of vague abdominal pain. Along with that can come some weight loss. And this really is just something's not right in my belly. We have seen a shift in younger folks getting colorectal cancer. So it used to be thought of, this is a disease of the over 50 crowd. Well, in the United States at least, we're seeing an increase in the under 50 crowd. So these are symptoms not just for the old folks, so to speak, like me, but also that younger group that might be having early signs of colorectal cancer. Know your body, check it out. If any of these symptoms come up, go see your doc.
What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? Wow, under 50. Remember what we used to be told about where to, you know, what time, what age that we'd go about the business of, you know, making sure that we get those colorectal checkups. Well, I want us to take a listen to another word on colorectal. I say health. Has to do with something that I know some people, you know, aren't that excited about, but it's something that we need to be getting done. Has to do with, well, for some people, the dreaded. And for some others, the not so dreaded, colonoscopy. All right, let me share with you, of course, we just heard from WebMD about the symptoms, some of the symptoms of colorectal cancer. And now, let me share with you some of the steps that they say we need to be taking when it comes to getting ready for the colonoscopy. All right, one day before the colonoscopy, no solid foods. Only drink clear liquids. Take half of a cleansing solution. We can talk more about that. And the day of, still no food. Take the other half of a solution and about 6 hours before the procedure, 2 to 4 hours before, no more liquids. These are just general tips. Make sure that you talk with your doctor, particularly with a GI specialist, gastroenterology specialist, and make sure you follow the directions that that doctor gives you in getting ready for your colonoscopy. Yes, indeed. How many of you have had that wonderful drink that a lot of our GI specialists have us take when it's time for our colonoscopy? And you really enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean, you said, wow, you know, I'd like to go ahead and drink some more of this just throughout the year. It tastes so good. I think I'd like to make this part of my regular diet. You can't do that. No, don't do that. Do not do that. I know that one of the thoughts that comes to mind is, hey, if this stuff works this well at cleaning out my system, maybe I can drink it once or twice a year, even when I'm not having a colonoscopy. I'll tell you what, I asked a pharmacist that question. What do you think about that? Should we take this, drink this only when we're having our colonoscopy done, or can we also drink it just maybe a few times throughout the year to help clean our systems out? And the pharmacist recommended that we not do that, that we drink it only when we're getting ready to have a colonoscopy. You know, I've forgotten what that drink is called that some of the GIs will have people drink. But, you know, you have to get it from the pharmacist with a prescription. And I tell you, most of the people I've talked with do not like it. They do not like that stuff. And, of course, one of the ways that you're taking it is you're drinking that stuff. It's almost like you're just, you're just flooding yourself with this liquid, about a gallon of it or so. 1 or 2 gallons, whatever it is, and you're putting all this stuff down in about 24 hours or less, 8 hours, something like that. I got to tell you, I kind of like the way mine tasted. I don't remember if it was grape flavored or what that flavor was, but I was okay with mine, to tell you the truth. So I was fortunate in that regard. But anyway, we definitely want to make sure that we're doing what we can to stay healthy. Now, I want us to take a listen to some of the things we need to be aware of when it comes to race and cancer.
It really hits home for me. African-American women are more likely to die from breast cancer. And what's worse, they're being diagnosed more frequently. So why is this happening? And what can be done about it? We take a closer look.
Ms. Robin Roberts.
I felt like the monster was chasing us, and now it's close. I'm thinking to myself, I may be next.
Breast cancer has waged a war on Felicia Johnson's family.
My maternal grandmother, my sister, my first cousin.
11 women, spanning 3 generations, have been diagnosed with the disease, including Felicia.
Seems like our list just goes on and on.
And when it really hit close to home, when your generation, it was one thing when you saw your mother and your aunt, but then when your first cousin passed away from breast cancer, what was that moment like for you?
All the girls are in the room, and it's a deep, deep cry. And I realize they're crying because we lost her. And she was so young.
More in just a few.